This sound, coming from a small machine, is the sound of a green economy.
So this is the world's first commercially available petrol generator, allowing you to convert your human power into usable electricity. It can currently recharge our own portable lights. It can also charge mobile phones.
Samir Haji's company, NeuroDesign, has 10,000 clients in Rwanda, India, and Kenya. It relies on a network of 80 peddlers who make a living out of peddling to recharge the lights or cell phones of their neighbors. NeuroDesign plans to increase its customer base tenfold by the end of the year. This activity is no charity, but a viable business servicing people who do not have access to electricity.
Essentially, the market is so huge. I mean, there's 2 billion people that are affected by this problem. So to the extent we can actually get this kind of technology to them, this could potentially be a very profitable business.
Economist Pavan Sukhdev is a special advisor to the United Nations Environment Programme. He explains that businesses such as NeuroDesign are examples of what a green economy would be like.
It is actually a new paradigm, which in many ways is beginning to be seen. And what you're seeing is a new economy breaking through what's breaking down, that heavy, you know, industrialized, over-ambitious, over-productive, over-consumptive model, which is actually going to completely destroy our chances of survival into the future. And what the green economy is an alternative, which doesn't do all of that.
Pavan Sukhdev says that the green economy can generate growth. The International Labour Organization estimates that renewable energy could generate up to 20 million new jobs if it were to represent 30% of the worldwide energy output. Chinese Society Entrepreneurs in Ecology represents 130 businessmen who have embraced the principles of green economy. One builds energy-efficient high-rise buildings, another ecology-friendly flooring that use fast-growing bamboo. The Society's Secretary General, Li Peng, says businessmen in China are starting to change their attitude towards green economy.
The majority of them are still struggling to be able to be compliant with environmental regulations. But then at the top of the pyramid, you have a small but growing group of entrepreneurs in China who see that greening their business is not just a legal requirement, nor a responsible act to do, but it is the only way that they can secure the core competitiveness of their business.
Kenyan national Wangari Maathai won the 2004 Nobel Peace Prize for her work in the Green Belt Movement, an organization that engages in tree planting activities and environment conservation. She says that the goods and services provided by nature, like clean air, rain, or fertile soils, should not be taken for granted. She says her organization, albeit a non-profit, has an economic impact that should be acknowledged.
In terms of the soil that we have protected, in terms of the biodiversity we have protected by protecting forests, in terms of facilitating rainfall patterns and therefore supporting agriculture, this is in terms of millions of US dollars, I am sure. This, I'm sure, is what we shall be doing in the future, paying for the environmental services we get from our environment and paying the people who take care of these services. Eventually, we shall have to pay them to do this work for all of us.
Last December in Copenhagen, the international community took a first step towards making society pay for the services provided by nature for free. It is called the Initiative for Reducing Emissions from Deforestation and Degradation, where local population would be paid to protect forests. Pavan Sukhdev says that this shows that the world is slowly moving towards a green economy.
People are ready, but the problem is there are vested interests. I am an optimist, and I think if you're a pessimist, that's just an excuse for inaction.
Pavan Sukhdev says that the change called for is in scale similar to the Industrial Revolution, but with a heightened sense of urgency because of the threat of climate change. It would require a higher political commitment that the world has yet to show. Soraya Nohin for VOA News, Nusutua in Bali.